All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Keeling's Corner. It's a Wednesday afternoon. We'll be coming to you on a Saturday morning. I got Mikey here with me today. Mikey, how you doing?
Doing good.
No, you're not doing good. Stop.
Yeah, I'm doing terrible.
The Mets got
very
eliminated.
Depressed, to be honest.
The Mets got eliminated. The Giants stink. And the Knicks just lost by, like, I don't know, what was it? 90?
About 80.
95.
85, maybe.
85, maybe. Jesus, what a disaster. An absolute disaster for the New York Knicks last night. In a season where they had such high expectations coming into
The season's not over.
It's one game. We all knew that
where
this was
the
going
Celtics
to
shot at a historic rate.
The Knicks are still going to win 45-50 games. They're not winning a championship.
I know. Off of one game.
It's not the fact that it's off of one game. It's the fact that the guys that you got are not as good as you think they are. So let me tell. So you lost Dante DiVincenzo. And Julius Randle.
Who shot 30% from the field yesterday.
And added Mikal Bridges and Karl Anthony Towns.
And you don't think they're better players?
I would say Randle and Towns are pretty...
Okay.
They are. Randle and Towns are pretty much, you know, equal.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are. They're pretty
Towns
much equal.
Towns might be the greatest big man shooter of all time.
What does that mean?
He spaces the floor. Randle doesn't. And you saw that problem yesterday.
I understand that, but it doesn't. You lost one shooter and replaced them with a big man who could shoot. Like, Dante DiVincenzo was your best shooter. Now he's gone.
It's not like Bridges is a significantly worse shooter than him.
Really? Because it looks pretty bad right now.
Well, I mean,
they changed the shot. I don't know why they.
Yeah, but in the second half, he was nailing them.
Yeah, he was nailing them because there was no pressure. You were down by 50. Seriously, you were down by 50.
Not in the second half.
In the second half.
At the start of the second, they were.
You guys were getting absolutely obliterated the entire night.
Well, yeah.
Listen. At the end of the day, like I said. Okay, so I'm just looking at it now. Julius Randle over the past couple of years has averaged 24-10-6, 20-10-5, 25-10-4, 24-10-5. Okay? But that's pretty good
stats. That is pretty good.
Is that not pretty good stats?
That is pretty good stats.
So let's take a look and compare him to
the guy you just said is
way better.
I didn't say way better.
No, he's better. You basically said
He is better.
Okay, so let's take a look at his numbers. Okay. So over the past 5 years, I'm sorry, the past 4 years, 24-10-4, 24-10-3, 20-8-4, 21-8-3.
Yeah, but you got to look at the efficiency, though. He puts up a lot less shots, and he's like the 3-point is where the difference is.
I understand. And if you kept Dante DiVincenzo, I would agree with you. But you literally lost. I don't know how to really explain it. Like, I can't really put it into words. So the issue of spacing the floor is still there, even though you added Towns because you lost DiVincenzo. So you took out one shooter and replaced him with another shooter. He just plays a different position.
Well, the problem is I don't think Josh Hart should be starting. I think Deuce McBride showed that he should be starting.
Deuce McBride really showed up yesterday. Deuce McBride looks like a pretty good ball player. Listen, it's an overreaction. Okay, the Knicks are still going to be, you know, pretty good. They're too talented not to be. All I'm saying is that this is no longer the fun team. This is now an expectation team. You are now the enemy in the NBA. You traded your future for this team. Now you have to, you know, produce, or otherwise things fall apart very, very quickly when you're not winning. Attitudes change, coaches get fired, things happen. So it's one game. It was against the defending champs. All right. I'm not gonna look that much into it, okay? I was just messing with you. But seriously, they better figure it out and not look this bad in game two. Who do they play in the second game of the year?
I'm not sure. I haven't looked.
I'll tell you right now.
All right.
The Knicks play the Pacers.
Oh, wow. They gave us a good schedule to start it off.
Pacers, the Knicks are 5.5-point favorites in that game.
We should win that game.
At home. The Knicks lose that game. Sound the alarms.
But I want to make one more point. There is no reason why Jericho Sims should be playing NBA minutes. He's terrible.
I guess. I mean, listen.
I'd rather give Ariel Hakpourtaia some minutes, see what he is. He's like year four, and he's done the same exact thing he's done from his rookie season. It's like he's got the talent. He just makes so many questionable plays.
He just hasn't really been able to put it together. And honestly, the Knicks played a lot more players last night than I thought they were going to play. Maybe that's because they were getting blown out. Yeah. But the Knicks went a lot deeper than I thought. Campaign stinks.
He does.
You know, he was a guy that I wanted the Nets to get. I'm happy they didn't get him. You know, as a Net fan, it's kind of hard for me to root for the Knicks because we do have the draft picks, but it would be nice to see. You know, I always liked Karl Anthony Towns. He's from New Jersey and everything like that. So, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing them win, but, you know, the fan in me wants to see. You know, I don't have any beef with the Knicks. The Knicks have sucked their entire, you know, like my entire lifetime, yeah. The Knicks have sucked. They've never really made the playoffs. I mean, there's a rivalry, but it's just because they play in the same city. It's not like there's a huge rivalry. Oh, we beat you in the playoffs, this and that. It's not like, you know, this hatred. The only reason why I would be rooting for the Knicks to lose is solely because we had 5 first-round draft picks from the past. That's really it. So an unbiased evaluation is don't overreact to game 1, but you better show up in game 2.
Yeah.
If you get blown out in game 2 at home at the Garden.
Especially against the Pacers, too, the team that just eliminated us.
Exactly, and I think the Pacers are good basketball
team. Oh, yeah, they're very solid.
And I think James Wiseman is gonna have a monster year for the Pacers. I think James Wiseman is going to show you know, people why he was the first pick in the draft a few years ago. All right, we'll circle back to basketball because, you know, the whole slate starts tonight, but I want to address a few things in football. So here we are again. We're sitting on another Wednesday with another wide receiver potentially on the move. DeAndre Hopkins was moved this morning to the Kansas City Chiefs, which was a huge trade. Completely changes, you know, the landscape of, you know, the AFC, because a lot of AFC teams are upgrading at wide receiver. The Jets, I was wrong about the Jets last week. I thought if Russell Wilson started,
they got cooked.
Beanie Bishop is the whole reason why the Jets lost that game. It was 15-6 with 1:30 left in the first half. The Jets had the ball going, and he made an interception on a throw from Aaron Rodgers over the middle of the field. Russell Wilson was getting benched at halftime.
Oh, that's an undrafted rookie, right?
Yeah. Justin Fields was warming up on the sideline.
Really?
He was getting ready to come in that game. Beanie Bishop saved Mike Tomlin, and he saved Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
So they should buy him a nice Corvette for Christmas because he saved their jobs.
This is a must-win for the Jets next week, though.
Oh, absolutely. The Jets are finished.
Like, they just raced it a draft pick.
The Jets are finished. They're stupid. They went all in on Aaron Rodgers, and he's 40 years old, and he's just not the same player that he was. The Jets are done. We don't even have to talk about that anymore. Yeah. Unless they win 2 in a row, and they should beat the Patriots, but unless they win 2 in a row, we don't even have to discuss the Jets as Super Bowl contenders anymore or even playoffs.
I mean, realistically, the rest of the way, how many games do they have to win?
They have an easy schedule. I would think they would have to...
I think at least 8, like 7-8.
I think they have to wipe the board.
You think so?
I don't think they can lose maybe one game. They could lose one game. They could be 11-6. 11-6 might get them in.
Because the AFC is like, they got a lot of teams where it's like...
Yeah, absolutely. The Steelers are 2 plays away from being 7-0.
Yeah.
Seriously, they're 2 plays away from being 7-0. And I want to say one thing. I was wrong about Russell Wilson. And in a way, I was wrong about Mike Tomlin. But it's not for talent reasons. It's not for the reasons you may think. It's for... I have to concede here because Mike Tomlin will not trust anyone that has not won a Super Bowl clearly or has played, you know, for a very long time. And because we saw plays on Sunday night that we have not seen the Steelers run all year. So I don't think it's the fact that Justin Fields isn't better than Russell Wilson. I think it's that Mike Tomlin will let Russell Wilson do more.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. And you know what? If the only way the Steelers offense can look like a real offense is if they have Russell Wilson back there because Tomlin trusts them, then you know what? I'm all for it. If we're going to push the ball down the field and let Wilson do his moon balls, I'm all for it. And if they get a wide receiver, Cooper Kupp, name has been coming up now. I can't do this again with Brandon Ayuk and Devontae Adams. I'm done with it. So if they get Cooper Kupp, great. If they get Cooper Kupp, you will hear me start saying that they can win the Super Bowl. Until that happens, I won't say it. Their ceiling is higher with Wilson, not because he's better, but because the playbook is bigger. That's it.
I'm really wondering, though, what it would take for the Rams to trade Cooper Kupp.
They set a second-round pick, but they're willing to eat salary.
Yeah, but I don't see a team really being able to... I mean, Adams went for a second. I mean, they didn't... The Raiders didn't...
Conditional third.
Okay.
That's what Adams went
for. Yeah.
So I could see the Steelers doing a conditional third. Listen, T.J. Watt's 30 years old. Minka Fitzpatrick's not getting any younger. And if you believe that Russell Wilson's the guy, don't let this year go by because they're 5-2. He's 35.
I mean, they definitely have to make a move because, like...
Yeah, they need somebody.
The top AFC teams, like the Bills and Chiefs, have made moves already.
They all made moves. And I'm sorry, Mike Williams doesn't cut it at this point.
Yeah.
He'll be better. He's better than what you have. But Mike Williams doesn't cut it. If you're serious about winning a Super Bowl and about winning championships, like Tomlin said this past week, then you have to go get Cooper Kupp. You have to do it. You can't let another top receiver go by the wayside. Can't do it.
And also, it's like, if you don't upgrade wide receiver, go for a lineman. You have to upgrade the offense somewhere.
Oh, no. The offensive line looked pretty good. Pretty damn good on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Yeah. The problem is, Steelers are without three starters.
Yeah.
Okay? Their three rookies that they drafted are all out right now, besides for Mason McCormick, who didn't allow a single pressure on the quarterback last night. Sunday night. I'm very excited to see what the Steelers, because the Steelers' run game has been pretty good recently. You know, the Jets, for as bad as their offense is, they're still a top defense. The Steelers scored 37 points. The Steelers scored 30-plus points in back-to-back weeks. They're a serious threat if they could keep this up. So, should be interesting to see. Hopefully they go out and they get Cooper Kupp and, you know, they target the Chiefs and take them down.
How much longer is it till the trade deadline?
November 5th.
Like week 9, right?
Election day.
That's crazy.
Tuesday. Not this Tuesday. Next Tuesday. Yeah, I think.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, it should be an interesting ride down the stretch. Jonathan Taylor back at practice today. Hopefully he's back as Trey Sermon stinks. We're expecting Tua Tagovailoa back. Hopefully, you know, that brings that, you know, resurrects the Dolphin offense a little bit. And people who took Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, you know, start getting some value back. Yeah, it's really the update for football. Moving on to baseball. World Series starts on Friday. Yankees versus Dodgers. Battle of the Stars. Ohtani versus Judge.
Battle of the MVPs.
King Soto. Taking the Yankees. And I'm so happy. When he hit that home run.
Yeah, no, I was watching. That was crazy.
When he hit that home run on Saturday night. Oh, man. Hey, the Yankees have to give him whatever he wants. A blank check. If he wants $1 billion, give it to him. Because he got you somewhere you haven't been in 15 years. So, it's him, it's Stanton, it's Glaber, you know, it's even Volpe. Judge has struggled mightily. He's had a big hit. He had a big hit in Game 4. Game 3. He had a big hit in Game 3 when he hit the home run off Class A to tie it. And then they went back-to-back, belly-to-belly with Giancarlo. But he's been, you know, pretty atrocious throughout the playoffs. Hopefully he turns it around, because if he turns it around and he starts hitting... The Yankees are going to win this World Series.
Oh, yeah. They'll kill them.
The Yankees are going to win this World Series if Judge can start hitting. The only problem is, what I'm a little concerned about, is that this is a big layoff, and it's pretty stupid. The World Series should be starting tonight.
Oh, yeah. I don't know why it's such a big gap.
What is the advantage now to the Yankees winning in 5 compared to the Dodgers winning in 6? Everybody gets, you know, rest time. There's no advantage to it. So the Yankees are in L.A. for 2, back at home in New York for 3, and on the road. Close out baseball season. 2 in LA, so I expect that to be a great series. I expect it to go 7.
Okay.
This is going to be heart wrenching for. I'm lucky I'm alive after game 4 and 5 against Cleveland. But yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully the Yankees and Garrett Cole. Hopefully Garrett Cole shows up on Friday night.
So what's your prediction on the series? How long and who wins?
I think it's going to go 7.
And who wins?
I don't know. Once you get to a game 7, anybody can win.
Yeah.
It's anybody's series. It's one game. Everything on the line. You exhaust every option. If it goes to a game 7, you will see Rodon. You will see Cole. You will see everybody. You will see Yamamoto. You will see Flaherty. You will see everybody. You might even see Ohtani. You might see Ohtani pitch.
Yeah, I mean.
You're going to see. These are two teams that are hungry and desperate for a championship. The Dodgers don't have a real World Series in recent years. 2020 does not count. That was a terrible season. It's 62 games, say whatever it was. Like 15 teams make the playoffs.
That's crazy.
Just a joke. You know, that's not a satisfying championship.
Yeah.
All right, the Dodgers have 3 MVPs on their roster. If you ask me, they should be the favorite. I mean, it should just be a fun series, fun baseball. I'm just hoping the Yankees stay competitive.
I think high-scoring games, too, I think. Like, the offense in this World Series.
If the Yankees' offense continues to play the way they played in the first 2 series of the playoffs, where Volpe's hitting and Rizzo's hitting and, you know, the bottom of the lineup is, you know, producing somewhat. I mean, Jazz Chisholm, are you going to come around at all?
Oh, yeah, no.
Jazz, what's going on, man?
Even when he gets hit, he, like, runs into outs.
He talked a big game after game two
yeah.
against Kansas City, and he hasn't done anything since. Typical Yankee, you know. I always go back to the Judge incident in 2019 where we won a game in Boston, and Judge had a boombox on his shoulder. And he was playing New York around Fenway Park, and the Yankees didn't win another game. So don't talk. Don't talk crap, okay? Play the game. Play it right, and go win. Be humble. Yeah. You had a home run? Celebrate. I have nothing wrong with what, you know, Stanton and Soto did. I want to see that emotion. But after the game, don't talk nothing. You know, Stanton's been awesome. Since he's become a Yankee, talking to the media, he's owned it when he sucked.
Yeah.
And he's been saying, we haven't done anything yet. Job's not done. Got to finish the job. Otherwise, it doesn't matter. No one's going to remember this. The Yankees don't win the World Series. No one's going to remember Giancarlo's sick postseason because he hit 7 in one postseason already or something like that. You know, Giancarlo's arguably the best postseason hitter of all time. He's got 15 home runs and almost 40 RBIs.
Yeah, he's...
I mean, per at-bat basis, other than Babe Ruth, he's... He has the most home runs per at-bat in the postseason. So, Giancarlo, keep it going. Thank you for showing up in the playoffs and making your $27 million a year contract worth every dollar.
Yep.
All right. Shifting back now to basketball. We got through all three major sports, which was good. We got through all the big stories in each thing. So, the full slate of basketball starts tonight.
Yep.
Of the NBA. Besides for Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets, they do not play.
It's weird.
Yeah, kind of depressing considering I have them in fantasy. Yeah, and of course I was playing Anthony Davis in fantasy last night.
Oh, that's not good. What do you get, like 50?
What else is new? Give him 10.
What happened?
10 points.
How do you get 10 points?
Because I'm in a real league.
Okay, but it's a real league.
A real league is where, you know, you get like 0.25 for an assist, 0.2 for points. This way it's not like 3,000 to 2,400, you know, final scores. It's easier to evaluate players and to make their worth a little bit more. You know, that's why Nikola Jokic is so good, because he does everything.
So, like,
what?
What's, like, the average score in that format?
Well, you play two people a week.
Okay.
And the average score is usually anywhere from 170 to 225.
Okay.
So somewhere around there. The roster spots are, there's two point guards, two players at every position, and you get two flex.
Okay.
So my draft was actually Monday night. I had the first pick, and I took Jokic.
Okay.
And then in the second round, I took Joel Embiid.
Okay.
Joel Embiid was falling for obvious reasons.
I mean, that's a steal. You got the two best, maybe, players in fantasy.
Problem is, he's already not he's not going to play.
Yeah, and he's not playing back-to-back this year, apparently.
He's not playing back-to-back. So, but you know what? I took the risk.
Yeah.
And I said, I have to make sure I get Andre Drummond.
Yeah.
And I did.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be a monster
this
year. Absolutely.
So, that's why I am okay with that. I took Drummond. I have a really good team. It's a 12-man league. So, if you want, we could go through. You want to hear how the draft went for me and what I did. So the draft, what I did, I took Jokic, obviously, with the first pick. And then coming back around, I went with Joel Embiid and LaMelo Ball.
Okay.
I like guys that do everything because I like to accumulate those points. Then I took Paul George and DeAndre Ayton. I figured those were a steal. I know George isn't playing, but again, I probably got George because of the little knee injury that he had. He probably would have gotten a lot
earlier. Way earlier.
And then I kept Lauri Markkanen in the sixth round.
Okay.
And then I took Tobias Harris. Tobias Harris is usually on my team a lot, so I took him. Then I took Ben Simmons and Jeremy Grant.
Okay.
I kept Cam Thomas in the 10th round. In the 11th, I took the first overall pick in the draft, Zachary, however you want to pronounce it.
Rush, something.
Something like that. Then I took Andre Drummond, because I needed to take him. I needed to make sure I had him. And I took Reed Sheppard.
Okay.
Trying to get some keepers for next year, so taking a chance with a couple of guys. I took LaMelo Ball, Steven Adams, Dylan Brooks, Kevin Porter could be a steal with Kawhi Leonard out for a while. There's no more Paul George, so even if he's coming off the bench, he's going to get a lot of minutes.
And a couple years ago, what, he averaged like 18 a game or something?
Houston.
Yeah.
So hopefully, you know, he can rekindle some magic in L.A. And then I finished the draft with Whitmore and Wiseman.
Okay.
So I'm very happy with my team. And there's a couple of, like, I think LaMelo Ball could wind up being, for everybody, he could wind up being a steal if he plays.
That's what I'm saying. He just has to stay healthy.
And like, he's got to play, you know, minutes. He can't just play 15 minutes. He's got to play, like, you know, real minutes.
Yeah.
Do you have – what's your biggest prediction for the NBA season this year? Like, what's your – who do you have – like, do you have a surprise team? Do you have a surprise team, and do you have someone who is supposed to be good but is going to underachieve? Like, who's going to be your biggest bust?
Ooh. Well, who I think is going to overachieve? I think Henderson will have a definitely improve more than he did last year.
Let me – who do you think is team-wise?
Like, going to shock people?
Yeah, what team?
I think Cleveland could be a top two seed in the East.
I don't know. I like Cleveland, but I think Cleveland's supposed to be there.
You think so? Yeah, I feel like most people think they're going to be like a 5 seed, 6 seed, maybe a play-in team.
I think is going to overachieve this year and is going to screw me?
Who?
The Nets. I think the Nets are going
to... I also think the Nets will be solid.
Are going to win 30 to 35 games this year, and the Nets are going to screw me of getting Cooper Flagg or Ace Bailey or...
Because I actually think Ben Simmons will actually be solid this year.
Exactly. I think Ben Simmons is going to be solid. Cam Thomas is solid. Yeah. They still have DFS. They still have Claxton. They have Schroeder, who's a
professional player. They got solid vets.
They have a regular
team. Bogdanovich is a solid player, too.
Exactly. They got Bogey. They're going to be a regular team. They could win 30 games.
Yeah.
And you know what? If Giannis becomes available, you have... You know, they're talking already. Giannis could be traded at some point. Okay, you have the draft picks now. You are in the driver's seat to get the next superstar that becomes available. You have every draft pick under the sun. You go out and you make a move.
Does he have a no-trade clause or...
No.
He doesn't?
Okay. Listen, I'm not saying that they're going to be great, the Nets. What I'm saying is that they're going to screw me over of getting a top draft pick this year, and they're going to win 30 games, and they're not going to make the playoffs.
I mean, hey, I mean, they got the lottery, so, I mean, you never know what could happen.
Yeah, true, which is why being bad doesn't always guarantee a top pick.
Because,
so.
I mean, what pick was Atlanta supposed to get, like 10 or something?
Yeah,
why
so, pick one? So you never know. You never know. It's not a guarantee in the NBA. I'm going to say that a team that I think is going to underachieve that what they were supposed to, I'm going to say the Knicks.
Okay.
I'm going to say people think the Knicks are going to win 55 games. I don't think the Knicks are going to win 55 games. I think they're going to win maybe 45 games. Okay, I think health has a lot to do with it. I think the coach has a lot to do with it. Now you have Towns, who didn't really get along well with Thibodeau in Minnesota, according to the reports. So I think they're going to underachieve, but I don't think they're going to underachieve to the point where they're not going to be in the playoffs. Yeah. I just don't think they're going to be as good as everybody thinks they're going to be. And that doesn't mean they're a bad team. They're still going to be a good team. They might even be a great team. I just don't think they're going to be as good as the expectations that everyone is putting out there for them.
I also think the same of Minnesota. I think also, why did they not play Dillingham yesterday?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a little weird.
That was a little interesting.
Like the fifth overall pick, they traded up for him, and they don't play him?
That was a little interesting. I'm surprised that also, too, that Connect fell that far in the draft.
Oh, yeah, me too. He looked pretty good.
He looked pretty good.
Like pick 55 got in before the pick 5.
Yeah, it was.
That's something.
It's a little weird. But, all right. Well, we got about 5 minutes left, so you know what time it is. Got to pick our picks for this week.
Yep.
Remember, if you want to make your picks, go to foxsportsnewjersey.com, sign up with your email, and make your picks today. Starting off on Thursday night, Vikings and Rams. Who you got?
I got the Vikings.
I'm going to hope the Vikings win, so this way if Cooper Kupp is not traded already, he will be a Steeler by the end of the night or by Wednesday or by Monday morning.
Yeah.
Not Monday morning, Tuesday morning. All right. Ravens, Browns.
I got the – what's the name starting? But I still got the Ravens starting or right, winning.
I'm gonna go with Cleveland as really? 9-point dogs. Yeah, I'm gonna roll with Cleveland.
Okay.
Colts Texans.
I'll go with the Texans.
Go with Houston as well. Packers Jaguars.
I go Packers.
I'm gonna take the Jaguars.
Okay.
Titans Lions.
I'll go Lions.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Lions as well. Falcons Bucks.
I'll go Falcons.
Yeah, I'll go Falcons too. Tampa's pretty depleted. Jets Patriots.
I'll go Jets.
Cardinals, Dolphins.
Cardinals. Ooh, actually, Tua. No, I'll go Dolphins.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Dolphins with Tua back. Eagles, Bengals.
I'll go Bengals.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Bengals as well. Saints, Chargers.
I'll go Saints. Ooh.
I'm going Chargers.
I'll also go Chargers.
Bills, Seahawks.
I'll go Bills.
Yeah, I'll go Bills too. Bears, Commanders. I'm taking the
Commanders.
Bears without Jaden Daniels.
I still think they'll win.
Chiefs, Raiders.
Oh, Chiefs.
I'm going to go Chiefs as well, even though I expect the Raiders to play them very tough. They always do. Panthers, Broncos.
I'll go Broncos.
I'm going to go Broncos as well. Cowboys, 49ers.
I'll go the Niners.
I'm going to take Dallas. Giants, Steelers.
I think the Steelers will probably kill the Giants.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Steelers this week as well. There's no bye week teams this week, so that's pretty good.
And pretty weird.
Yeah, pretty good, pretty weird, however you want to call it. But, Mike, you got anything else to add about the NBA season starting tonight for, you know, the full slate of teams?
I mean, it'll be fun. I mean, a lot of rookies should get their shine. I mean, first overall pick, Plant making his debut today.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing what the rookies in an underwhelming draft class, yeah, you know, wind up being. Yeah, hopefully the Nets get blown out tonight and every other game for the rest of the year, but I'm sure they won't. All right. Mikey, it was another great episode. And, yeah, that's going to be it for Keeling's Corner this week. We will see you next week. Keeling's Corner out.